Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Here's Dr. Ethel Weld's Stoop story about an unusual first encounter during a very long emergency room shift.
So it was a typically crazy day in the medical intensive care unit, and I was a medical intern, brand new, way over my head, and I was still getting used to carrying around the pager, and I was honing my fight or flight response to it, mostly flight. I always wanted to run whenever it went off, because it was in the habit of summoning me to disastrous situations in the middle of the night that felt way beyond my capability to handle. And I remember I had been on call for 17 hours. I was just about to sit down. I hadn't sat down once, and I was lowering myself painfully into a chair, and my pager went off. So I got back up, and I looked, and it was the emergency room summoning me down to look at a patient. And I just was so weary, and my mouth was dry, and it felt like it had been used as a latrine by some small animal of the night, and subsequently as its mausoleum. Actually, all the descriptions of being extremely hungover that I've ever read are pretty evocative of the basic MO of being a medical intern. You're basically hungover for an entire year. So I looked at the page and it was the emergency room, and I went down. They said, there's a patient down there who's speaking in tongues. No one can communicate with him. He's in the upper unsalvageable reaches of hepatic encephalopathy. In other words, his liver is so dead that it filters none of the toxins that his body produces. And there's nothing to stop him from getting just crazy off the fumes of all his intrinsic poisons, not to mention hemorrhaging out of every pore of his body. So I went down and I approached his hospital bed to the rescue. You know, I was a brand new intern with no ideas about what to do. And I saw him from the door. He was this slight man. The whites of his eyes were the color of a yellow highlighter pen. And his belly was the size of a late-term pregnancy. And he had all the stigmata of chronic liver disease. And I went up to him. I started asking him questions. He did seem distraught. He was writhing around. You know, he sort of was responding to me. And it took me about 15 seconds to realize I actually understood what he was saying. Maybe he'd been billed to me as speaking in tongues. And I realized I understood him because he was speaking French. Not only French, but the mellow, accented French of Francophone Africa, which I knew well because I'd lived in Gabon the previous year doing a fellowship in pediatrics. And so I started speaking to him in French in my pretty embarrassing and heavily African accented French, but I was able to communicate with him. And he told me he was from Cameroon. He had moved to Baltimore to stay with family, and he had known he was getting sick over months, and he just couldn't afford a doctor. So he had been medicating himself with shorties of vodka and 40s of St. Ides because it's what he had to make do with because the sugarcane wine of home was not available. And this actually was in the armamentarium of medicines at home. And I remember he gestured with his hands, like these slow taffy-pulling motions to show like the inexorable increase of his belly over the past months and just how he knew he was getting sick and he couldn't come in. So I brought him up to the ICU, and my hand was on his stretcher in the elevator, and it was shaking, I remember. And I remember my galloping heart rate absolutely matched his heart rate on the monitor. And we got him in a room and we started pouring blood products into him, platelets and clotting factors and blood products, but it was like pouring them into a sieve because he was bleeding so much. And I had to put an IV, a large central line, into his groin, into his femoral vein. And under normal circumstances, a femoral vein is about the size of a man's thumb, and it's half a centimeter under the skin, and it's pretty easy to hit. But in someone with a dropping blood pressure, and with the steadiest of hands, it's really like stabbing a minnow underwater with a toothpick, and it's very hard to do. So I was sort of trying, and he was thrashing around so much that it required two people to hold down every limb. And I finally stopped noticing the absolute futility of continuing to attempt this procedure, And I said, "Sir, what can I help you with? Why are you thrashing around?" And he said something that I remember receiving as odd, but it didn't really register at the time. He said, "Mais ma sœur, pourquoi vous ne me laissez pas chanter? Je veux chanter." I want to sing. Why won't you let me sing? And I looked at the nurses holding his limbs down and the orderlies, you know, making sure he didn't, you know, pull out every IV that had been put in him. And I said, "Does anyone mind if he sings?" And no one did. And so I was like, "Mais monsieur, on vous laisse? Vous pouvez chanter, pas de problème. Go ahead. Go ahead, sing." And he sang. And it was haunting and beautiful. And it was this African-inflected religious song that had elements of a schoolyard chant. It was that catchy. And I'm musically deficient, so I can't remember a note or a word, but I would give almost anything to be able to have the recording. And I realized at the time that it was tantamount to prayer. He was praying, for sure. And after he sang, his whole body relaxed, and the lines between his eyebrows that seemed completely etched just melted away. And he just sank into a sleep, and to the extent that I could put in this femoral line into his vein with suddenly, like, unexpectedly steady hands. And then he sank into a rictus, and then as his last breaths sort of faded away, he died 20 minutes after his swan song. And this represented many firsts to me. And the first first was that it was the first patient of mine that I witnessed dying. And incidentally, it's actually also the first time I ever liked a hymn, because I had only ever heard the sort of leaden, mumbly hymns of other people's churches. But most meaningfully for me, it represented the first time that I realized something that every hard-bitten ICU nurse knows, which is that people, even very sick people, can choose when they die. And what I had actually witnessed is someone, this man who had been dying slowly for months, and then extremely rapidly in front of my eyes for hours, looking at death in the face, and meeting the Reaper, and if not beating him, racing him.
That was Dr. Ethel Weld with a Stoop story about her unusual first encounter with death as a first-year medical resident. You can find links to hear her story and others at the On the Record page at WYPR.org, and you can find information about the new Stoop storytelling series as well. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy this tropical weekend.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.